And I'll ask if you would turn with me in your Bible to 2 Timothy, Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. And that's, it's page 1269 in your blue pew Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 17. We're working our way together through the Bible, okay, one book of the Bible at a time. Each week we look at a different book of the Bible. Each week we try to hone in on a key passage, a key verse or text that will help us understand the overall message of that particular book of the Bible. This morning we come to 2 Timothy, and our text this morning is from 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. Let's hear the reading of God's word to us today. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Let's pray together. Lord in heaven, we want to be equipped. We want to be ready for every good work, every challenge, every opportunity that might come today, every opportunity that might arise this week. We want to be ready. And so we pray this morning that your word would teach us and reprove us and correct us and train us, Lord, that you would ready us this morning and prepare us for the challenges and opportunities of the week to come. Lord, we ask this, we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, last Sunday was Mother's Day, if you remember. It was also Chris Burke's last Sunday with us. So Chris preached last Sunday, but the previous Sunday, was Friendship Sunday, right? And if you remember, we talked about the fact that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, right? Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. The Apostle Paul said, the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. In other words, he's saying, here's something you could trust. Remember, he's writing to Timothy. Timothy's a young pastor who's now serving a large, influential church in Ephesus, and he's facing a lot of opposition, and there's a lot of confusion. There were a lot of men in Ephesus teaching kind of strange speculative theories that were kind of biblical, kind of based on Jewish tradition, kind of based on Jewish genealogies, but they were strange and confusing. And Paul says, Timothy, here's a saying that's trustworthy, and it deserves your full acceptance. Here's a saying that you can wholeheartedly embrace and you can build your life on it. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And so that's what we looked at a couple weeks ago, again, when we were in 1 Timothy. So what's next? What now? Okay, I'm going to assume for the purposes of our message this morning that you understand Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Okay, I'm going to assume this morning that you have fully embraced that you are sinful, and you're not trusting in how good you are, but you're trusting in how good Jesus is, right? That you may be a sinner, but Jesus came to save sinners. And so I'm going to assume this morning that you've come to that place where you're trusting in Jesus as your Savior. I realize some of you maybe you've never even heard that before. Or you've heard it, but you're not quite sure what it means. Maybe you've heard it many times, and you're still not clear. Or you're not sure how you feel about it. Or maybe you're dead set against it. I understand that. Some of you might be dead set against it. But for the purpose of our message this morning, I'm going to assume that most of you have come to accept and embrace wholeheartedly this truth that Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Okay. Assuming that's where you are this morning, what next? Okay, what now? What's the next step? This morning, I want to encourage you to continue in what you learned, right? To keep going in that good direction. But look with me at our text. We're starting at verse 14. Paul says, but as for you, and he's writing to Timothy, as for you, continue in what you've learned. Okay, so you're off to a good start. You've come to know God through Jesus Christ. You've been saved by the blood work of Jesus on the cross. What now? Keep going, Paul says. Continue in what you've learned. If you want to back up a verse, go back to verse 13. Verse 13, Paul says, evil people an imposter. An imposter is a phony, a fake Christian, a hypocrite, right? Evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse. Okay, Paul is saying some people are going to get worse and worse, right? Some people, as they get older, they've been crotchety and cranky and difficult and hard-headed. Some people, when they're young, you know, they're fine as long as they're at home under their parents' care. And as soon as they go off on their own, they go wild. They lose all restraint. Or some people live a nice moral life until they become middle-aged and they have a midlife crisis and then they run off. You know, some people just, they get worse and worse in life. You know people like that. Some old acquaintance from high school you haven't seen in 20 years. You run into them. What happened to her? What happened to him? You know, he's really let himself go. Some people, unfortunately, will just get worse and worse in life. Paul says, evil people and imposters, fake, phonies, liars, will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. In other words, not only are these people fake and phony, but they begin to fool themselves. They begin to believe their own lies. They believe their own baloney. You know, you repeat something enough, you start to believe it. And so some people are so busy lying to themselves, lying to other people, they start believing their own lies. They start believing that the world owes them something. They start believing that they're the center of attention. They start believing their right to be angry all the time. Some people just, they're just going to get worse and worse in life. It's unfortunate. Some people are going to get worse and worse. But you don't want to be like that. Right? You want to get better and better. You want to grow and grow. Paul says, Timothy, evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you've learned. I want better things of you, Timothy. We're all sinful. We're all less than fully honest, right? We all lie to ourselves sometimes. We make up excuses for things. We blame other people. The question is not just who you are and where you are, but which way you're going. If at your heart, at your core, you're lying to yourself and to others, right? If you're going the wrong direction, you need to turn around, right? If your back is to the Lord Jesus, you need to turn around. You need a U-turn. Okay, the Bible calls it repentance, from the Hebrew word for turn. If you're going the wrong way, if your back is to Jesus, then you need to turn around and turn toward him and trust in him and follow after him. But if you're facing Jesus, if you're looking to Jesus and you're trusting him and you're seeking to follow him, then Paul says, keep going in that direction. Timothy, there are some rotten people out there and they're just going to get worse and worse. But as for you, continue in what you've learned. Keep going and keep growing. Don't stop. Now, a quick question, which is more than a, it's a quick question, a long answer. What are these things that Timothy's learned? Paul says, continue in what you've learned. What are these things that Timothy's learned? It's not really possible to summarize everything Timothy's learned, right? Paul's been mentoring him and discipling him and teaching him and training him. Timothy's a pastor. You can't summarize everything he's learned. But remember that Paul did share with Timothy some faithful sayings, right? When he said Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, that was just one of the faithful sayings. Paul actually shared several faithful sayings to Timothy. Keep in mind, the Bible was still being written. It was unfinished. I mean, this is right here is part of the Bible. It wasn't finished yet. The church couldn't sit around and wait until the Bible was finished. They needed to know what to believe and what to do. And so even before the Bible was finished, they developed these faithful sayings, these truths that they could memorize, they could share with other people, they could hold on to. One of them was this faithful saying, Jesus came to save sinners. But that's not the only saying they had. And so if we're thinking about, okay, Timothy's supposed to continue in what he's learned, how do we summarize the things Timothy learned? Well, one way is just say, well, what were some of the faithful sayings? So that's what I'm going to do this morning quickly. Just think about some of the faithful sayings that Paul reminded Timothy of. One of them is back in 1 Timothy 3. Paul says, the saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. An overseer is an elder. Right? The term elder describes the qualifications. An elder implies experienced and mature man. Okay, overseer is what the job is. You oversee the congregations. Elders oversee the church family. Like today, in the ancient world, people were obsessed with celebrity. Who's the most wealthy? who's the most powerful. That people, like today, people cared about power and fame and money and authority. And elders don't have any of that. And yet Paul says, listen, if a man desires to be an elder, that's a noble task. He who aspires to be an office of an elder, that's a noble task. To oversee the people of God, that's a noble thing. Won't make you a lot of money, right? Won't get you a lot of fame, won't get you a lot of praise. But to care for the people of God, sometimes it'll break your heart, but that's a noble thing to do, to care for God's people. And so when Paul says, Timothy, continue in what you've learned, one of the things that Timothy's learned is that Jesus came to save sinners. Another thing he learned is that the office of an elder, that's a noble task. Okay, what else? What were some other of these trustworthy sayings that Paul shared? One of them was in 1 Timothy 4. He said, bodily training is of some value. Okay, remember in the Greco-Roman world, think of all the statues. Okay, they're very concerned about the ideal human body. And so exercise was considered important. Paul says, well, there's some value in that. There's some value in taking care of your body. Bodily training is of some value. But godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also the life to come. So, yeah, exercise is good. That has some value. But godliness will help you in this life and in the life to come. It has eternal value. Some things are only of value in this lifetime. Godliness is valuable for this life and the life to come. So Paul says, bodily training is of some value. Godliness is of value in every way. The saying is trustworthy. Now, we don't know. We weren't around then, so we don't know what things became sayings. So sometimes Paul will say, the saying is trustworthy. And you think, well, is he referring to what he just said? Or is he about to tell us the saying? So he says, again, this is from 1 Timothy 4. The saying is trustworthy, deserving of full acceptance. To this end, we toil and strive, because we have our hopes set on the living God, who's the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. So Paul says, man, we work hard and we strive because our hope is set on the Lord, who's the Savior of all. Now, we don't know. We're trying to think of what are the things that Timothy has learned that he's supposed to continue in. So we're looking at these different trustworthy sayings. In some cases, well, is the trustworthy saying what Paul just said or what he said next? But regardless, we can say that some things are only of value in this lifetime, but godliness is valuable for this life and the life to come. We work hard because our hope is set on the Lord, the Savior of all. And then finally, in this letter, 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that's in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul's saying, I'm willing to suffer everything. I'm willing to be mocked and imprisoned and beaten. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll do anything to help people come to know Jesus. I will do anything to help people come and be saved. He says, the saying is trustworthy. If we've died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Okay, so basically Paul says, Timothy, continue in what you've learned. And so we're looking at just some of those trustworthy sayings to say, okay, what are some things that Timothy learned? But here's the real point. He says, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed. Okay, so the idea is that you need to firmly believe that Jesus came to save sinners, right? Timothy, you're a pastor. You got to have this straight in your head. You need to firmly believe Jesus Christ came to save sinners. There's lots of things in life you can speculate on. And some people only like the things on the fringes of the scriptures. You know, those things that aren't quite clear, the speculative things. But there's some things you need to know for certain and have absolutely clear in your mind. And this is one of them. You need to firmly believe Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And you need to firmly believe the office of an elder is a noble position. Timothy, if you're going to endure this, you got to know for sure that what you're doing is worth your time. You need to firmly believe the office of elder is a noble position. And you need to firmly believe that godliness is of value now and for the life to come. You're not going to bother spending time listening to the Bible, reading the Bible, studying the Bible, trying to obey the Bible. You're not going to bother if you don't think it's worthwhile. You've got to believe it's valuable in this life and in the life to come. You've got to firmly believe, okay, that godliness is of value now and for the life to come. You need to firmly believe in working hard because our hope is set on the living God. The Christian life is not easy. And you've got to firmly believe that, look, hard work is part of it. And we work hard because our hope is set on the living God who is the Savior of all. And you need to firmly believe in doing everything to help people come to know Jesus. You know, Chris Bird's been with us for 3 months, and he's been encouraging us to pray for others and to talk to others about Jesus. But if you're going to persist in that, you got to firmly believe it's worth doing. And you got to firmly believe it's worth sacrificing and suffering and doing whatever it takes for people to come to know Jesus. You need to firmly believe in doing everything you can to help people know Jesus. And you need to firmly believe God is faithful and that if we endure, we will reign with him forever, okay? The Christian life at times can be very difficult. Timothy's a young, timid man with all this responsibility on his shoulders, and it's not going to be easy, and there's some hard-headed people who are causing trouble for him. He needs to know beyond a shadow of doubt God is faithful. Even when man isn't, even when circumstances are hard, even when we fail, you've got to firmly believe, but God is faithful, and if I endure, I will reign with Jesus forever. The Apostle Paul says this morning, continue in what you've learned, knowing from whom you learned it. Sometimes we just pick up things. We don't even know where we learned it. You just kind of pick it up from people. It's in the air. But Paul is talking about things that you learn from specific people. You know, the source is important. The source matters. You know, sometimes somebody will say something, you go, where'd you hear that? I don't know. It was on the internet. If it got to be true, it was on television. No, you know, it's not only what you believe, but where did you learn it? Who's your source? Paul says, continue in what you've learned and firmly believe, knowing from whom you learned it. In other words, Timothy, you learned it from me. That's what Paul's saying. Paul himself has discipled and mentored and taught Timothy. Not everybody can say that. Not everybody was mentored and discipled by an apostle. Not many people were actually discipled by the apostle Paul. But Paul is saying, Timothy, continue in what you know because you learn it from me, right? This wasn't just gossip you picked up on the street. It's not just something you read in a cheap novel. You learned it from me, the apostle. In fact, back in the very beginning of chapter 1, Paul introduces himself as an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. And so he says, Timothy, continue in what you learned, knowing that you learned it from me, and I'm an apostle sent by Jesus to teach these things to you. Timothy's been taught by the apostle Paul, but not only by the apostle Paul. He says, continue in what you've learned, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings. Well, Paul and Timothy spent a lot of time together. Timothy accompanied Paul on his missionary journeys, but Paul didn't know Timothy when Timothy was a child. But he says, from childhood, you've been acquainted with the sacred writings. In other words, well before Timothy ever met Paul, he was taught the Bible from his mom and his grandma. Okay? Back in chapter 1, Paul says, I'm reminded of your sincere faith. A faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you. And so before Timothy ever met Paul, he was learning the scriptures from mom and from grandma. And so Paul is reminding Timothy, think about not only what you learned, but where you learned it from. These were godly women. These were women of faith. These are women you can trust, okay? These are some strangers here in Ephesus who are saying all kind of weird ideas. We don't know those people. But you have learned the truth from godly people in your life. They are reliable, trustworthy people. They're people who love you. Timothy has been taught by the Apostle Paul and by his own mother and grandmother. Paul is inviting you to think about the people in your life who've been a positive influence for you, who have showed you things, who have modeled godliness, who have taught you things from Scripture. And he's inviting you to think about that That you're not just believing things you picked up somewhere, but think about the people from whom you've learned it. Paul, Timothy's been taught by the Apostle Paul and by his own mother and grandmother. But ultimately, Timothy has been taught by God. And that's where Paul's going in this. He says, continue in what you've learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Okay. So salvation comes by faith in Christ Jesus. Salvation comes by trusting in Jesus. It's by faith alone in Jesus alone. It's not something you do. It's not something you earn. It's by faith alone. And where do we learn that? We learn that in the scriptures. That's what Paul says. He says, the sacred writings are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So it's not that Paul was so special or that mom or grandmom, but they were special because they taught Timothy the Bible. And it's the Bible that tells us that salvation comes by faith in Jesus. And so the point Paul's making is that ultimately Timothy was taught by God. Okay? Understand, he's a young man. He's timid. He feels like he's out of his depth. He has more responsibility than he can handle. And Paul's not going to be around much more, right? Paul has been his father figure. Paul has discipled him. Paul has mentored him. Paul has trained him. But now Timothy's on his own. And not only is Paul not with him, Paul is not long for this world. Paul tells Timothy, you know, I've run the race. You know, Paul was at the end of his life. Timothy's going to be on his own. But Paul is able to say, it's not just me that taught you and your mom. Maybe your mom or your grandmom are not around to teach you anymore. He says, ultimately, it's God who's been teaching you. Right? God had taught Timothy through Paul, through mom, through grandmom. It's God who teaches us. And God is still there to continue teaching us. He says, it's the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation in Christ Jesus. Ultimately, it's the scriptures themselves that teach you how to trust in Jesus. When I was in college, people would often say, well, you're only a Christian because of where you live, where you grew up, what you learned from your parents. Well, no, you're not just a Christian because you heard from your parents. You're a Christian because you found it in the Word, right? The scriptures, that's what teaches us that salvation is by faith in Jesus. Ultimately, it's the scriptures themselves that teach you how to trust in Jesus. Or we could say, it's God himself who teaches you through his word. Look what Paul says. The sacred writings are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Then he says, all scripture is breathed out by God. Now remember, when Jesus was crucified, the 11 disciples, the 11 that were left, they were a mess. They were a wreck. They didn't know what was going on. Even though Jesus had told them it was going to happen, they didn't. They were confused and they were panicking. They thought, we're next, right? The Romans, they're going to come for us next. So they're hiding in a locked door, hoping that the leaders of the synagogue, the Pharisees, don't come after them, send the Romans after them. They are a wreck. Jesus Christ is risen. And the risen Lord appears in the midst of his disciples and he says, peace be with you. They don't know what to think. They're panicking. They think he's a ghost. He has to reassure them. And then he says it again. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. Now, if you were going to send out a group of men to start some new movement, you wouldn't have picked those 11 guys. I mean, these guys were, you know, they were a mess. They were panicking. They were confused. They were fearful. And yet Jesus says, just like the Father sent me into the world, I'm sending you out. And then it says, when he had said this, he breathed on them. Jesus breathed on them. And he said, receive my spirit. Jesus is preparing these men who are totally unprepared. And he's sending them out on a mission to build the Christian church. But first he breathes on them and he says, receive my spirit. And that's the idea that Paul is using this morning. Because here is Timothy, and Timothy is out of his depth. He's a young, timid man, pastoring a very large, very important, significant church, and there's all kind of adversaries and difficulties. And
And Paul is no longer going to be around to help him and teach him. And Paul says, but all the scriptures are God-breathed. Sometimes we translate that inspired, which is true. The Bible is inspired. But the word literally there is expired. The idea that as Jesus breathed on the disciples, so God breathed into the writers of the Bible. Peter says, no scripture was written by somebody's own theory of interpretation, but rather they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, that God breathed these words into the writers of the Bible so they would write exactly what we need to read. The idea being, Timothy, it's God who's been teaching you. God used your mom, he used your grandmom, he used Paul, but it's God. It's God. I mean, Paul uses the expression in Corinthians, those who've been taught by the Spirit. Jesus said, it's like the Old Testament says, they shall all be taught by God. The idea here is that God himself has been teaching you. Continue in what you've learned and firmly believe, because it's not just rumors and it's not just a theory. God himself has been teaching you. So what he's saying is continue in what God himself has taught you. That's what he's saying. Christianity is a system of doctrine, okay? When we talked about the things that Timothy learned, we looked at some of these trustworthy sayings. That's doctrine. Doctrine just means teaching. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's a doctrine. The office of an elder is a good thing, a noble task. That's a doctrine. A doctrine is not a bad word. It just means teaching. Christianity is a system of doctrine. It's a system of teaching. Some people say, I don't want doctrine. I just want Jesus. How can you believe in Jesus if you don't know who he is? That's doctrine. How can you follow Jesus if you don't know what he wants you to do? That's doctrine. Okay, Christianity is a system of doctrine, but it's not just a system of doctrine. If some people want Jesus without the teaching, some people want the teaching without Jesus. Christianity is not just a system of doctrine. Well, I got my doctrine all figured out. I'm good. No, Christianity is not just a system of doctrine. It's also a relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ. Christianity is a system of doctrine, but more than that, it's a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so, Paul says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. What has Paul been doing for Timothy? He's been training him in righteousness. He's been mentoring him. He's discipling him. He's been teaching him. He's been reproving him. Reproving is when you say, don't do that. You know, we all have blind spots. We all have weaknesses. And a lot of times other people see them, but they don't want to tell you. They don't want to start a fight. They don't want conflict. They don't want to embarrass you. You know, you come home. You've been with your friends. You come home, and you think, good gravy. I had something in my teeth. Nobody said anything. Or my hair looked ridiculous. Why didn't somebody say, or I had mustard on my shirt. Why didn't somebody say, you know, we all have flaws, bad habits, blind spots, behavioral problems, ways in which we're not honoring the Lord. And often people don't want to tell us that. But you can be sure Paul was honest with Timothy, right? Paul was training him. He was like a father to him. And he was teaching him. And he was reproving him. And he was correcting him. And correction here is not just telling you when you're wrong, but helping you do it right. So if you're shanking the ball in golf, you know, the golf pro says, here, let me show you how to, you know, widen your stance a little bit. Change your, you know, that's correction. Or you're in the gym and your feet are too close together, and the trainer says, no, you need to spread your feet a little bit more and bring your arms a little closer, your hands closer together. That's correction, okay? That's helping you do it right. Paul says all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. See, he's saying, Timothy, I'm not going to be with you, but the word of God will be. And so you can continue being trained. There's no point in which you say, I'm good. I've arrived. There's always room for growth. And so no matter how old or mature you might be, you always want to continue in what you've learned. You always want to be pressing on. You never want to be standing still or just slowly walking. You certainly don't want to be going backwards. You want to be running hard. Now, if you're going the wrong way, if your back is to Jesus, you need to turn around. But if you're facing Jesus, you need to run hard after him. Timothy, continue in what you've learned. and what you firmly believe, knowing from whom you learned it, knowing it's God himself teaching you through the scriptures. He says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. The idea is that Christianity is a relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ, by his Spirit through his word. So as we pray, that's talking to God, right? It's a relationship. I'm talking to God and I'm asking God for a Spirit. And then as we read, that's listening to God. It's a relationship, okay? Some people just want to talk. They just want that. They don't want to listen. Some people read the Bible, but they don't really want the relationship. Okay, it's both. It's talking to God and asking for a Spirit. It's listening to God and letting him teach you, okay? It's a relationship. Jesus Christ himself trains and prepares you by his Spirit through his word. Again, this is what Paul says. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Now, in the Old Testament, the man of God was the prophet. Elijah was the man of God. Elisha was the man of God. Isaiah was the man of God. Okay, in this case, it's Timothy. And he's saying, Timothy, I know you feel overwhelmed. You feel out of your depth. But all scriptures breathed out by God and able to make you a complete, equipped for every good work. The idea is twofold. Number one, that the scriptures would continue to teach Timothy and reprove him and correct him and train him. And number two, that the scriptures are what Timothy can use to correct and train the congregation, right? The scriptures are what he's going to preach and what he's going to teach. All scriptures breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, okay, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Okay, Timothy, there's some people in Ephesus that are difficult and they're hard-headed, but that's okay because you've got the word, and as you preach the word, it's going to teach them, and it's going to reprove them, and it's going to correct them, and it's going to train them. The idea here is that Jesus Christ himself trains and prepares you by his Spirit through his word. 2 Peter says, God's divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Obviously, the Bible doesn't tell us everything we would like to know about everything. But God's power provides everything we need for a godly life. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul said, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believed. Paul was being persecuted, he was being mocked, he was being falsely accused, he's been thrown in prison, and he says, I'm not ashamed. And you expect him to say, I'm not ashamed because I know what I believe. And that he could have said that, I'm not ashamed, I know what I believe. And he could have said, Timothy, don't be ashamed, you know what you believe. But instead, Paul says, I'm not ashamed, I know whom I've believed. It's not just the doctrine that I know to be true, but I know Jesus personally, and I know I've trusted him. Paul says, I'm not ashamed, I know whom I've believed. I'm convinced that he's able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. You know, it's a system of doctrine, but more than that, it's a living relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I know Jesus, and I trust him. The world has betrayed me. My own flesh betrays me, but I can trust in Jesus. That's what he's saying. It's a living relationship with God through Jesus Christ. In chapter 2, he says, remember Jesus. He doesn't just say, remember the things I've taught you, but remember Jesus himself, risen from the dead. Jesus Christ himself is at work in your life, training and preparing you by his Spirit through his word. Now, you can't just say, well, God will take care of it. You've got to be listening to his word and seeking, praying for the Spirit. But Jesus himself will train you and prepare you by his Spirit through his word for the good work that he has for you to do. Okay? Remember in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul said, we are God's workmanship. Sometimes people say, well, you've created God in your own image. Well, of course that's not true. God created us in his image. We don't change here, right? I mean, he doesn't change. He changes us. We're his workmanship. God's at work in your life. Paul says, we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. God doesn't save you because you've done good things. He saves you so that you'll do good things. right? He's at work in you so you'll be able to do good works. Paul says we're his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Okay? We are like Timothy, that often we think, Lord, this is going to be too hard. I'm not up to the task. This is too difficult. It's too demanding. I can't do all that. You don't know what this week's going to bring. What challenges, what opportunities. You don't want to miss them. You want to rise to the occasion. Jesus is able to train you and prepare you and equip you so that when those challenges come, you're ready. And so that when those opportunities come, you don't miss them. Right? That's what Paul is saying. That Jesus Christ himself trains and prepares you by his Spirit through his word for the good work he has for you to do. He says, so the man of God might be complete, equipped for every good work. So continue in what you've learned. If you're going the wrong way, turn around. But if you're facing Jesus, trusting Jesus, trying to live for Jesus, he says, keep going, keep growing, keep asking for the Spirit, keep listening to the word. Keep going, knowing from whom you learned it, knowing that it's God himself teaching you. It's God at work in you, helping you, preparing you, training you, getting you ready for whatever this week's going to bring. All right, let's pray together. Lord in heaven, easy to talk about. Reality is some of us are going to face some really, really challenging things this week that are going to stretch us. And yet you know that, and you're preparing us. And you use your word to prepare us. And your Spirit's at work in us. And so we pray for that this morning, Lord, that we would be in your word and listening to your word and seeking your Spirit. And we pray, Lord, you'd get us ready. And you would prepare us and train us so that when that opportunity comes, we rise to the occasion. Lord, help us to keep going in the right direction, to continue in what we've learned, what you've been teaching us, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.